Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 32. Taking care of myself was not something that I focused heavily on in life. Taking time out for me always really felt like I was wasting time until I was diagnosed with Crohn's. And as some of you listeners may know, I dove into naturopathic health to assist on my own road to recovery. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Kathy Gruver to the show. Author of The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, Kathy has a doctorate of traditional naturopathy. She's appeared on over 200 radio and TV shows as a guest expert. She's published an instructional massage DVD and is a flying trapeze artist. Today, Kathy joins the technology equality community to remind us how important it is to take time for ourselves. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh my gosh, of course. Yeah, it's funny. You're my first of three podcasts this morning, so I'm going to keep myself straight.
I totally understand. I would like to know the story of how it is that you once saw the future. Before you actually finished school, before you really thought about how it was you were going to move into your career.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw a completely different future than I have because I was an actor. I started out in theater. And so as a kid, I figured, oh, I'm going to move to Hollywood and I'm going to be that successful actor and I'm going to be on, you know, movies and TV. And now I am on TV, but I'm not the wacky neighbor on Friends. I'm, you know, actually doing, you know, expert stuff. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. The acting has served me incredibly well because every time I step in front of people to do a workshop or a lecture, it's a performance to me, and I want to make it fun, and I want to make it funny and engaging. And when I'm doing radio shows or podcasts or TV guest spots or my own TV show, my first book was turned into a TV series, which is going to start airing soon. So, it's kind of how I pictured it, but completely different. Never thought I would be doing massage. Never thought I'd be writing books. And I actually just finished my fifth, so it's they're rolling through. But yeah, it's different. It's different. It's exciting. And I still don't know what the future is. I don't know what I'll be doing next year. You know, I just go with it, and I leave myself open to whatever's gonna pop in. It's been a heck of a ride.
I can imagine. I notice you also take part in quite the activities outside of, you know, general naturopathic health, but I notice you also do flying trapeze. Is that correct?
I do flying trapeze. I mean, doesn't everybody do flying trapeze? It's not everyone's normal weekend adventure. Yeah, no, I started doing it about 2.5 years ago, and it's a complete addiction for me. I think this is the most fit and strong I've ever been in my life. It keeps me young. It keeps me moving forward. It's a total parallel for life. It's a mindfulness practice. It's been a huge part of my life. And now when I travel, I try to find trapeze rigs to fly. So I think to this point, I've flown 6 different rigs around the country. And that's an ever-growing list as well, because anytime I go anywhere, I want to fly. So yeah, it's been so great. It's been so exciting.
That is awesome. That is outstanding. I happened to catch one of your YouTube videos there where you were completing your first complete pass, I believe, back over.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I was watching that like, one day. So Kathy, tell me.
I was like, try it, Lori. It's so much fun. Or find whatever your trapeze is. Not everybody wants to stand on a platform 30 feet in the air and jump off, and you know. But everybody has something. And I encourage people to find their trapeze, whatever it is, to live fully in that present moment.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I have issues with being, you know, 5 feet on a stage off of, you know, in a high school auditorium. So yeah, we'll find my trapeze. So. But Kathy, what were some of the first steps that you decided to take? What was it that propelled you into naturopathic health? What was it that, you know, kind of shifted that goal of becoming an actress and kind of getting into the theater world?
Yeah, it was a multi-level shift. The first of which was my mom passed away of cancer when I was 18, and so a lot of people look at that and go, "Oh, well, that's why you do this." It It's not really. It wasn't that direct a connection. You know, I know people that have suffered injuries and have gone through physical therapy and then decide they want to be a physical therapist. There's a clear progression there. This was just one of those drops in the bucket that influenced me to go into this way later, something I never considered at that time. As an actress, I studied with a woman who did massage and body work. She would show up to our theater and just work on all the actors for free. And I apprenticed with her for years. And then one day she turned to me and said, "Oh, Kathy, I'm so backed up. Could you take those mats and go in the other room and work on John?" And I looked at her and I said, "No, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I'm sitting here watching you." And she looked deeply into my eyes and she said, "Yes, you do." And I had the sense to listen to her because so many other, you know, I was 19, 20 years old, excuse me, and I think so many other people would have gone, "I don't know what I'm doing," and would have denied her denied themselves that opportunity. But I actually took the mats and I went in the other room and I worked on this other student and I was good at it. And it really opened up my eyes to, hey, you know, my dad keeps saying I have to have something to fall back on because I was a theater major. And I realized that was it. And I started doing massage and body work, and it was kind of running concurrently with the acting. And at one point, there was just a shift. You know, I wasn't in Hollywood anymore. I wasn't doing production work. I wasn't pursuing the acting career. And I realized, hey, maybe this is time to let that other path be the dominant one for a while. And then I started learning more and more, and I realized that people were relying on me not just as a massage therapist, but as a health practitioner for them. So I studied more and more, and then I wanted to share my knowledge because, to me, what's the point of learning all this if I'm not helping people with it, right? So I started writing articles, and I started writing the books, and then the massage DVD was actually the first thing I did. That seemed like a logical progression to me. And so I'm just amassing this this toolbox of things that I can give to people and say, here, this can maybe help you, or they'll listen to a podcast or a radio show. So to me, it started out with, oh, my mom is sick, through learning massage, through having the sense to listen to people when they told me things. And then it's kind of become this conglomerate into now. And again, I still don't know what the future holds. The future starts with every moment, and I don't know, but I'm hoping to keep helping people. And flying on the trapeze, yeah, that goes with it.
Too funny. What do you feel was one of the most difficult parts of making the transition as you started to realize, okay, I'm good at massage. This is what I'm, looking towards becoming more prominent in the career field. What did you find to be the most difficult step of really building out your platform and your presence as a professional?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I did is I actually ended up getting a job in a physical therapy office because I didn't know anybody in the – I just moved to Santa Barbara. It was a new community for us, both my husband and I, and I didn't know anybody. If I was still in L.A., I probably could have just jumped right in and contacted everyone I knew and started a practice, but I didn't know anybody here. So I started working in a physical therapy office, and I learned so much there about massage. I finished up some massage training because I needed more hours to be licensed here in Santa Barbara. And so everything happened, it unfolded just as it should have. I mean, it was just so perfect, and it was so stressful to me then because I hated working for somebody else. And unfortunately, I ended up in a physical therapy office that had the ethics of guinea pigs. They weren't giving us overtime, but they'd make us stay. We had to do all this paperwork. I was at one point running the department. I'm not a physical therapist. They treated the patients horribly. There was insurance fraud issues. There was all this stuff that I was exposed to. And though it was negative at that time and I felt really taken advantage of, I learned so much about what I did and did not want in business, and also how to treat patients who were really, really injured, because we did all workers' comp cases. So I did a lot of rehab on these people, therapeutic exercise and e-stim, and it really, really added a lot of stuff to my toolbox. So when I went out to start my own practice, I now not only knew people in the community, I also had a really great system to offer them. And it was stressful, though. I got to say, I'm very type A. I'm very driven. And I think you have to sort of be that way to run a successful business. You have to throw everything you have into getting it going. And I did. You know, I was diving for the phone on the weekends, and I was, you know, seeing clients evenings and weekends, and I was working my tail off trying to build that practice. And now I've been working here as a massage therapist in Santa Barbara for almost 15 years, and there's still still anxiety about, oh my gosh, someone canceled this week, I got to fill that spot. And, you know, as a solopreneur especially, you don't ever lose that. You know,
right.
you always want to keep successful and you want to keep on top of it. I spent so much money on advertising, and some of it was totally worth it, and some of it was complete and utter crap. I made a lot of mistakes because I wanted to try everything because I didn't know what would work. I didn't have a mentor. There was nobody advertising massage the way I was. So it was really an experiment, and I wasted so much money and so much time. You know, I look back at some of the things I did. Telephone book covers. Would you like an ad on a telephone book cover? And I'm like, yeah, because I remember that as a kid. Yeah, you know what? Right. No one has a phone book anymore, and no one wants a cover for it. So I was stuck with 40 telephone book covers, and I spent all this – I mean, it was just stupid things that had I thought about it more than 2 seconds, I wouldn't have done it. Do you want to be on a bench on a golf course? Sure, why not? You know, I mean, just like the most ridiculous stuff. But I didn't know what would work. And it became this huge experiment of, well, let's try everything. Let's throw the spaghetti and see what sticks. And now I know what sticks. I got a clearer view of what sticks.
I love how you really went ahead and took the opportunity to get hands-on research done prior to building out your own practice. You took that time, took a position where you could learn the ropes, learn the clientele, learn your space, you know, grow your own knowledge as a physical therapist, and then go ahead and apply all of that hands-on research to building out your own practice. Now, of course, there were, you know, bumps and trials and tribulations, and it was an experiment because due to the lack of having a mentor, which is a piece that I think is really great that you brought up. When on an entrepreneurial journey, when you do figure out what it is you're looking towards moving into, find those people that you can reach out to. Find the people that can help you and can explain to you those ways that you can avoid wasting money or experimenting with your own cash to find, you know, the best way to advertise or the best way to, you know, manage your clientele or manage your contacts. So thank you, Kathy. Do you feel like there is a limit, either minimum or maximum, to the amount of research that someone should perform prior to, you know, embarking on their own entrepreneurial journey? I find that, you know, the question is really derived because I find that myself, I tend to do a ton of research on a project and then it turns into procrastination on a project. So I'd love to hear your thought process on that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and to speaking of the mentors, I was privileged enough to have had and still have these people in my life, actually, clients of mine who are incredibly successful business people. I had three that I can think of right off who, you know, ran multi-billion dollar companies, multi-million dollar companies, who some were solopreneurs, some were entrepreneurs, some were tech, none of them were in a field that was even close to mine, but they were in love with business and the idea of business. And actually, during their massages, they were kind enough to let me ask them questions. I mean, it would just turn – because they love business so much. They loved having the conversations with me. So I had very sort of accidental, casual mentors of, you know, I'd see them every couple of weeks and I'd say, oh, hey, I'm about to do da-da-da-da. And they really tracked my business with me and they really encouraged me. And they talked to me about my fears, like getting my first office space. I was terrified. Suddenly I had rent to pay, whereas before I was simply driving from house to house, which had its own problems, which was I was exhausted and I was carrying tables up skinny staircases and tripping over cats and baby toys and dogs and, you know, but they were so encouraging. So I think surrounding yourself, even if it's a different field than you, surrounding yourself with people that know more than you is one of the smartest things you can do. And they were a big part of my research and they did guide me towards things that probably did save me time and money. I think you have to ask questions and I think you have to do research, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the procrastination. Some people get so into the thinking of their idea and the building of it and the pondering it and the researching it that nothing ever happens. So I think there's a place to meet in the middle. I tend to be very, oh, I have this idea. And 3 days later, I've got business cards ordered and I got a website put up and I've got, you know, I'm advertising it. My husband's opposite of that. He will think about stuff and he'll ponder things. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? We just do it. But then later, suddenly he has this full-blown idea that is there. So we probably drive each other crazy in that, because he sees me as being this sort of just petulant, you know, this very, blah, I just do it. And I see him as, what are you doing? You know, so we both get a lot of stuff done. We just do it differently. And it's kind of funny because we just approach it differently. But I think right. you do have to watch the, you know, I've been thinking about this book for 6 years. It's like, okay, then write the book. You know, I have so many people, oh, I'd love to write a book, but they've never put a word down on paper. So that means either you don't really want to write a book, or you do and you're terrified, which I totally get, but and it's an overwhelming task, having written 5 of them, I know, but you have to at least get a word on a page.
Right.
And it can start with the littlest thing, and that's where I love breaking things down into smaller steps, because if you say, I'm going to write a book today, oh my God, how do you even do that? That's a daunting task. Well, how about you write the first paragraph of the first chapter today? That's a doable step. That's what, 300 words? That's better than 50,000 words. So, you know, taking those small steps and researching it and thinking about it, but also taking action is really, really important.
Certainly. Definitely. And I love what you were explaining, the difference between yourself and your husband and how you approach your ideas and how you tend to go for it once you come up with the idea, and where your husband does more like I do, like I think about it and I debate on it and the ups and downs and I research and I look at different areas. And then I find that I'm not getting very far. But, you know, what do you think is one of the most important things? You know, and I know you love to get the ideas out there, but what do you feel like is one of those things that you really do take into consideration before you put anything at all out there?
Yeah, I want to know, you know, I think I kind of do it backwards. I don't think about return on investment first. And I know most people in business, their first thought is this going to make me money? And I think that's an important question to ask. And I want to make money, and we all deserve to make money, not to the expense of taking advantage of people or hurting people or not providing a good service or product. But that's not my first thought. My first thought is there going to be a benefit to my audience from this? I do a lot of radio shows totally for free. I do a lot of podcasts totally for free. I do things that, you know, like I said, this is my first of 3 today. So that's like basically 2.5 hours where it's not an income maker for me. But I get to share my knowledge with people, and I enjoy doing it, and it keeps me sharp and fresh and communicating, and it's fun for me. You know, so if I looked at everything from, oh, well, I'm not making any money from that, I wouldn't be doing probably the majority of things that I'm doing. But I want to provide that knowledge. And when I get an email the other day saying, thank you so much for reminding me to love myself, I really needed to hear that today. And she had listened to a podcast that I had done. I don't know what state she was in. I don't know. I can take it to an extreme and say, maybe she was suicidal that day. Maybe she was going to hurt herself in some way. Maybe she was so depressed she was going to I don't know what her story was. But getting an email like that, that was my pay for that podcast. And I know I touch people and I help people, and that's why I do so much stuff. So to me, my first question is this going to help somebody? And then I go, hey, if I could make money at that, that'd be awesome. And I know a lot of people look at it the other way, and maybe I should be more ROI focused on it. I haven't moved into that yet. And I'm, you know, the massage and my consulting and the speaking, that pays me in a way that allows me to sit here with you and do this and help people pass on information.
No, I agree 100%, Kathy. I think so many episodes and so many entrepreneurs that I've spoken with, the first thing that, you know, is suggested to a newbie or, you know, someone who's looking at, you know, a business idea that they might have is to really focus on the budget or how the funds are set aside or the cash flow that they might have. Mm-hmm. But to really focus and pay attention to whether or not this is something that you're enjoying, really love doing, and just really want to make sure that you're helping other people and that there's a service that you're providing that's something that people really honestly need help with before you do anything else is probably the most important first step. And I agree 100%. I think, you know, in the beginning when you attempt to start a business, you worry so much about the little bits and pieces that you could be missing. But I think the bigger picture is what a lot of people tend to miss in the grand scheme, is making sure that you're going into it because this is what you enjoy and you absolutely are passionate about doing. So thank you, Kathy.
Yeah,
and speaking of passion.
Well, I was going to say, let me just throw one more thing in on that. There's something that I learned when I was doing my hypnotherapy training called the mental bank. And it's basically an exercise where you keep a bank account statement like you would for your bank account, but it's your mental bank. And you put things in your mental bank that provide you currency, but not just financial currency. It feeds you emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's good for you as a being. And so I get mental bank dollars for doing the show with you, for doing the next show I'm about to do, for doing trapeze, for taking time to rest. I get extra money in my bank account for taking a bath. That doesn't provide me money, but it provides something that is feeding me. It is providing me with an emotional, spiritual, mental currency that is furthering my purpose on this planet, my purpose in this world. And I think people forget that, oh, well, I can't miss that appointment to go to the gym. It's like, but going to the gym is important, and taking a nap is important, or, you know, whatever you need to feed yourself. And I think so often in this society, we overlook those things. We don't give ourselves credit for that because it doesn't provide us money in that hour. And I think we have to refocus that. I was like that for the longest time. I would not miss a client to go do anything. But now I make sure I schedule in dance class for myself because that feeds me. And I schedule in my own massages and a pedicure here and there. And maybe I will take a night and lounge in the bathtub. Those propel me forward, not financially, but it does in a way because it keeps me fresh and it keeps me healthy and alert. So I think we have to remember we're a whole being, and it's not just about how much physical money we're putting in our bank account.
Certainly. I absolutely love that, Kathy, the mental bank. I 100% need to open one myself. I will have a bank account this afternoon, and hopefully the entire audience took note of that. The mental bank, that is an awesome idea, Kathy, to make sure that it's just a quick trick to kind of keep it fresh in your memory that you should be feeding that bank account, much like you do your regular bank account.
Yep.
And you should be taking that time out for you.
It's so great. I mean, there's a whole way of setting it up, and it actually does. I have found that I've gotten more opportunities, and the things that I really dreamt of doing started to come to fruition when I started doing this. It comes with that, you know, you do it with affirmations,
right.
And I mean, there's a whole system to it, but that was just the overview. I think it's just mentalbank.com or the mental bank. If you search that, you can find it. There's a whole program that goes with it.
Awesome. I certainly will link to that through the show notes page. That is excellent. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to jump back to favorites because I know you happen to have a favorite. I would absolutely love to hear all about magnesium because I think it's really important for the audience to hear about it as well. So please share with me when it was that this became your favorite mineral and why.
Well, because, yeah, we all have to have a favorite mineral. Nutrition, you know, I know the basics of nutrition. It was never a huge part of my practice because I'm not a nutritionist. So I would say things like, you know, let's cut out the soda, let's add a vitamin and mineral supplement, let's, you know, cut out the MSG and the artificial sweetener. And, you know, it was very basic stuff. And I studied with two just like gurus in the nutrition world. And one of them said, you know, magnesium is my favorite mineral. And I heard him say that and I'm thinking, why do you have a favorite, like, who's a favorite mineral? And then he started, he had a whole song about magnesium. He brought his guitar and he had this whole song. It was hysterical. And I'm listening to this and he spent like an hour talking about just magnesium. And I was captivated. It was just such a good talk. Magnesium is good for muscle cramps, menstrual cramps, headaches, constipation, mood and sleep issues. And I thought, oh my God, that's like everybody I know. Like, who doesn't have one or more of those things going on? And so I really started reading about magnesium. I'm one of the experts on the Magnesium Council. I do a lot of writing for them and some radio shows for them. I love magnesium. It helps with everything. And there have been times where I've had either really bad muscle pain after too much dance class or whatever. I pop 500 milligrams of magnesium and my muscles relax. I had a rib, I used to be very prone to ribs going out. My ribs would sublux and I would have this, I mean, it really felt like you were being stabbed right under your shoulder blade. Horrible feeling. And I'd have to go to the chiropractor and he'd put it back, but the muscles would be in spasm. I had that happen on a weekend. Of course. I was in so much pain I couldn't get off the floor. And I remember John, the doctor who I studied with, saying, if it spasms, take magnesium. And I thought, well, I'm going to test this out. So I took 100 milligrams of magnesium. Okay, I do not recommend this. That was way too much. Because magnesium relaxes smooth muscle. Well, guess what's smooth muscle? Your colon. So my back unspasmed, but so did everything else in my body. And I found myself spending the rest of the afternoon in the bathroom, very embarrassingly, and very going, what did I eat? Oh, the magnesium. Oh, that's right. It is good for constipation. Well, that worked. I have no problem making fun of myself with that. Because, you know, I make mistakes so that others won't. Do not take 1,000 milligrams of magnesium. And I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you dosages anyway. But it's so helpful for so many things, and for the sleep as well. Some people pair it with calcium. You don't have to. Most of us are deficient in magnesium because our soils are depleted. You know, the factory farming and the commercial farming is just, you know, stripping our soil of its nutrients. So I think we should definitely add in a vitamin and mineral supplement, and I absolutely recommend extra magnesium too, but not too much. Unless you're constipated, and then go for it.
You're too funny. When I happen to see the real clip, you know, and you were mentioned that magnesium was your favorite supplement, and I'm saying, that is interesting. So I started looking it up, and I'm reading through the list, and I'm saying, there's so many different uses. So that's why I said to myself, I have to have you just mention to me why it was that it became your favorite, and how did that come about?
Yeah.
Because, no, I had never heard that anyone had a favorite mineral prior to the reel. That was just very cute. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
I do appreciate it. But Kathy, you help a lot of people make enormous changes in life on a regular basis. Well, I would love the opportunity to help you. Our show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for a new business that they may not have had, you know, any thought of in an industry that they're unfamiliar with. So I'd love to know, if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be? And why?
I would like to do more speaking because I love doing it. It's so much fun for me, and I'm starting to get more and more speaking engagements, and a lot of them are starting to pay or are paying, which I love. And if I could do more of that, if I could reach more people live and in person, go into more corporations, go into, you know, workshops and health fairs, and I would love that. That would be phenomenal. Of course, we always want to sell more books, again, because of, you know, the financial aspect, but also to get it in the hands of people. So if I could have an ideal day, it would be traveling to somewhere, to a corporation or organization, where I could do a talk, where they've bought everybody books, I can spend 4 hours with them or an hour with them, really educate them about stress and mind-body medicine, and help increase the productivity in the corporation or the organization, and that would just be a perfect thing for me. Yeah, that's what I really want more of my future to be.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll add this one as one more speaking engagement for the year, and we will look around, and hopefully our audience has other podcasts and things, and they will reach out so that we can get more speaking engagements going. Kathy, please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing is my website that you mentioned, thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. You can sign up for my newsletter there. It's free. There's some videos on there. There's lots of free resources. My books are all there. Journey of Healing, which is my latest, is going to be out in August, and you can pre-order that now, and I'll ship it the second I have it in my hands. And I just think I'm glad you went to the site. I get so many compliments on just how much info is there, so very excited about that. So again, it's thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and you can reach me through there.
And don't forget, when you do go to thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, to check out the I Am At Peace meditation. That happens to be my favorite, Kathy. So thank you for that. There are so many meditations out there that are outstanding, but they're so long, and I don't always have the time. And sometimes you just need that 5 minutes to just breathe. So it's absolutely outstanding. So check that out, guys. Kathy, thank you for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and expertise this morning.
Oh, thanks, Lori, for having me. I appreciate it.
Kathy, thank you once again for sharing your time and expertise with myself and the audience. We truly appreciate it. Audience, thank you guys for joining me once again for episode number 32. Don't forget to check out Kathy at thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, or you can always find her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Kathy Grover. Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you and take action. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.